In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at the second verse, you all have arrived there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And it reads like this: For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And in my speech, my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, not of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But what is written, or should I say, but what, as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of men, the things which God hath prepared for them that loved him. Amen.
Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we come this evening to come and share a word. Not my word, but your word, God.
Yes.
As Paul said, oh God, not with enticing words, but by the power of your Spirit, now come and speak to and through this man's servant, God, that can you convey the word, you relay the word, you commend the word.
Yes.
In the power of Jesus' name. Not my will, but your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Briefly, I just want to talk to you because I must admit, God had given me something else, but I had to turn the tablet off, find a sheet of paper, and he said, I want you to talk about the challenge of living holy.
Wow.
The challenge
of
living holy. And to the whites, I just want to share with you, while you're celebrating 9 years and all of this, there is a challenge
yes.
to living holy.
Yes, it is.
Some folk just think that just because I can say I'm saved, satisfied, and filled with the Holy Ghost, I've been given a little bit of water, you know, I've been sprinkled, may have been dunked, may have just had a hose put on me, and I can just still do what I want to do any way I want to do it.
Right.
But yet Paul shares in this, the first book to the church of Corinth, he shares with them because he wants them to deal with some issues that they didn't want to put away.
Right, right.
Disunity, dishonesty, immoral living, dealings that were mixed with God,
right.
Trying to be impressive, worrying about who had better ability to speak in tongues versus who could prophesy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yet he was even trying to remind them that the communion, the sacraments is necessary. Even to the end of 1 Corinthians talked about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The challenge of living holy is just like what Paul stated in our text as we read it, because a lot of times we don't preach or we don't just talk about Jesus enough.
All right.
Some of you know today, right downtown, that a museum opened. And even in the news where I was just a few days ago, they were talking about this museum that's opening and how grand and wonderful, but how scandalous some things were.
Already.
Matter of fact, when I heard about it in the news, the museum opened today, I was hearing this as early as Wednesday. They were talking the negative already.
Yes, already talking.
How to live. The challenge of living holy. Even with a museum that some folk are even going to challenge when they come to see it. Still going to challenge the validity of what they see.
Yeah.
Challenge the validity of, is this book really real or not?
All right.
But I learned a long time ago, let it speak for itself.
Yes. Amen.
So here's Paul talking to Corinth, trying to teach them how to live holy.
Yes.
And so he says to them, I've determined not to know anything among you except Jesus and him alone. Because see, everybody wants to know. See, now that you become elevated and consecrated to the office of bishop, they don't want to know about Jesus. They want to know, how do I get the ring? How do I get the chain? How do I get the cross? How do I get the title? How does my wife get the title of lady? How do we now build up, and how much, you know, people can pay me to come and preach? The challenge of living holy. One of the greatest things I shared, and I had to learn this in ministry my own self, what I'm doing right now is the easiest part of my job, or the calling rather.
Right, right.
The hardest part is living after the benediction.
Yes.
It's easy to sing the wonderful songs of Jesus. Sing the jaundiced soul of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his praise. But how can you live it?
That's it.
See, I have problems. I guess I'm the old man now. I'm having problems. We say one thing, but we do something else.
Right.
And we call it, I'm still in the liberty of God and I can do what I want to do. No, you can't. You can't do that. And that's what Paul was dealing with, because he was trying to show the Corinthian church by his own personal examples that this is how you must try to live holy.
All right. Yeah.
We love another song that says, I learned how to live holy. How did you learn how to live holy? But then I like what the song says. I learned how to live holy. I learned how to suffer. Because if I learn how to suffer, I'll gain what?
Eternal
life. So this is what the church has to understand. Now, we're at a place that we're trying to speak like the world. We're creeping in language that sounds like the world, even in the pulpit. We're creeping in sounds in our choirs and our musicians that sound like I was back in the club.
Uh-huh.
There are songs that I hear even preached, or excuse me, songs that are sung. And when I hear the music, all of a sudden I have a flashback.
Yeah.
Because I remember some of the songs that I used to, you know, y'all heard in the introduction, I wasn't always in the Lord.
All right.
Friday night, that's tonight, we in church. You couldn't barely get me in a church on a Friday night.
All right, all right.
But find me a party.
Yes,
find me a club. Even in the same suit that I would wear to church.
Yeah.
I would be in it on Friday night. Even though I would sweat in it on Friday and sweat in it on Saturday, I hang it up and air it out so I can wear it on Sunday.
Yeah.
But I would hear the sounds of Flashlight, One Nation Under a Groove, jamming until the break of dawn. And I'm saying to myself, I remember them songs.
Yeah.
But we think just putting Jesus on it gonna make folk walk right.
Yeah.
Gonna make folk talk right.
Yeah.
I've even heard hoopers maybe reminding me of James Brown at the end of a song that says, I feel good.
Yeah.
That he throws in the same hoop I hear preachers hoop. And I'm saying, I remember hearing that sound. And so we figured we can mix that into what we do. Folk won't know no different. They will be all right. But there is a challenge.
Yes.
To live in hope.
Yes, Lord.
Even the word tells us to come out and be ye separate.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, granted, you just can't come out and be your own person, but what the scripture is trying to tell us is that there's a way that we should live.
Yes.
That should bring not the attention of negativity to us, But it should bring question.
Yeah.
How? With a president who don't care about anybody, not just a class, a race, or a group of people. He just don't care about nobody.
Right.
But how can you hold your head up when he's about to mess up your health care?
All right.
He's about to mess up your Social Security. Mm-hmm. How can you hold your head up and smile when you know right now you're getting ready to file your taxes, and if he does what I believe he's trying to do, you are going to mess yourself up in taxes?
All right.
How can you smile? How can you hold your head up if you might be one of those that might not be able to afford health care? You might end up losing your job. How can you smile?
Well, God have mercy.
When you go to the doctor's office and you get a prognosis that will just rock anybody else out of their mind.
All right. Yes, sir.
How can you stand when folk don't like you? Don't even know you. Don't even know nothing about you. Don't even know your background, your pedigree. Don't know what you had to go through in life. But just don't like you because they just don't like you. This is what Paul was saying. The challenge of living holy. I didn't do nothing. I didn't say nothing. And I was determined to only let one thing be known, and that was Jesus and Jesus only.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Yeah, we want to talk about what happened on Queen Sugar. Charlie gonna lose the meal. We want to talk about what happened on Empire, Star, and all these other shows. And yet, folk are looking for hope, and we ain't got time to talk about hope.
Yeah.
But we can talk about the TV show. We can talk who laid with who and who was with who. Who did the do to who. But when we gonna talk about Jesus?
Yes.
Somebody just talked about they were in a situation and they had a conversation and how the conversation went, but it went to one place. It went back to Jesus.
All right, yeah. All right.
I still believe the words of the second verse of that song, "Oh, the world is hungry for the living bread."
Word, yeah.
When are we gonna start feeding folk living bread? Because again, the world is looking for answers.
Yes.
And somebody's hoping, and I thank Mr. Hobby Lobby for doing it, but the museum is not going to save folk.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
It's by the foolishness of preaching that men are saved.
That's it. That's it.
But then after they get saved, that's when the real work begins.
That's it.
How do we train them up?
Yeah.
So they can walk in this very same way.
All right.
That's the challenge. So Paul keeps telling them that I need you to understand first that I was with you in weakness. And I was even with you in fear and in much trembling, because it's all new to all of us.
Yes.
We just didn't get saved and was able to read scripture overnight and understand the will of the word.
Right.
But we had to learn.
Learn how.
Paul told the Roman church, study to show thyself approved.
Yes.
And it takes time in study, because come on now, we matriculated through school. Mm-hmm. You didn't learn everything you learned at the beginning when by the time you graduated.
That's right.
You still didn't know some stuff when you graduated, truth be told. There were some things that later in life they hit you like a ton of bricks, and some of the stuff that we wished we would remember. Because now we find ourselves realizing, I know I was in high school, in the marching band, concert band, orchestra, the choirs, all of that stuff, and I can't play a lick.
Oh, Lord.
I was a music major studying theory, and I can't play a lick.
Lord, have mercy.
I can't even regurgitate theory to you. The funny thing was, I failed in history. I failed in, what was the other one? History, government, which is politics.
Oh, yeah.
I already failed in religion because I just went to church playing church. And how come now all of a sudden history, politics, and religion have become my greatest love? I read history. I study politics. Religion, I have nothing but God. And I trust his word even more now. So I understand where the challenge comes from.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Asaph, in the 73rd division of the Psalm, he got frustrated because he was doing all he knew to do in God.
Yes, yes.
But he got frustrated because he saw the world prospering. Mm-hmm. He saw the world living large and in charge.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He saw the world in a way that they were even disrespecting. Some of y'all saw the news recently. There was a church in Montgomery County just the other day, for 2 days, got shot up. Mm-hmm. There used to be a time people would respect the church and the cemetery.
Yeah.
Now the most disrespected is the church.
Yeah.
And so Asaph got mad. And he said to God, surely you're good to Israel, but I got an issue.
Yeah.
I'm trying to walk this holy life thing out. But every time I'm taking 4 steps forward, the world keeps dragging me 5 steps backwards, and they look like they got everything that I'm trying to get.
That's right. That's what they
you do. Said to me, this is what we're supposed to get, but it looks like they get it. And they're not even thanking you. They cussing you.
Yeah.
They calling you to your face out of your name. But then he realized around about, I think, verse 17, he said, until I went to the church house, I understood the challenge of holy living.
Yes.
Because he realized that the challenge of holy living, that if I live right, heaven still belongs to me. So he understood. Paul is trying to say the same thing to him. He told him, I didn't talk with enticing words. I didn't try to. See, one thing about preachers, we just need to preach foolishly, like the scripture says. I don't have time to get into the theological discussion of how God worked things out. I just know he did.
Yeah.
I don't have time to give you the benefit of what I studied and try to make you impressed that I did go to school. What I need to do is preach the word and live the word.
Yes.
Isn't that what he said?
Yes.
He said my speech was not with enticing words, like men's wisdom. Because they're awesome folk. Because I remember when I was young, I used to love listening to Martin Luther King and the way he spoke. And I was so enamored by his enunciation and pronunciation. Yeah. How he could, can you just carve a phrase? I wanted to be like him so much so in that way. And God said, boy, I only made one. I need you to be you. But I don't want folk to see me all out of character.
Yeah.
Because there's an image that I want to portray. He said, your image is my image.
All right.
You be what I called you to be.
Mm-hmm.
Go back to Jeremiah and read what Jeremiah had to go through when he had to go down to the potter's wheel. I think it's chapter 6. He said, just as I did with that clay, I'm going to do with you. And that's the challenge. Are we willing to let God have
us?
I'm getting there. Y'all just bear with me. Pray with me. I'm getting there. So one of the things that we have to understand that Paul told the Corinthian church, first thing, you got to learn how to stand in faith.
Go ahead.
See, because we watch the world go by and we want what everybody else got going on. We want the latest car that everybody else has. We want the latest fashion that everybody has. And there was one time at the church didn't care how it looked in fashion, even though it, you know, was the ridicule of fashion.
Right. Yeah.
Now we want a headline. We want to be the first. We want to do things in excellence. We want everything excellent. Well, when you going to get ugly, folk?
Wow.
We do things in excellence. That means we don't do like we used to do in church.
Right.
Ladies would go one way and the wig go another way. We would sit and wait on God until God actually showed up.
Yes.
Now we just give 1 hour services and then we think we've done something. We only talk about God when it's convenient, only other folk, and we don't want to infringe. We don't want to upset. We don't want to offend nobody.
Yeah, that's it. That's the word.
But the church been offended for years.
Years.
And we got to accept that too.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to offend anybody because, you know, it doesn't look right. But I've been told that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue should confess. I also learned that for without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Yes, Lord. That's it.
So one of the challenges is in that aspect of standing in faith, who are you trying to please? Man or God?
Oh, Lord.
I learned long time ago, I'd rather please God every day than man any day.
Any day.
All right. Any day.
Because the same man I try to please today, he gonna let me down tomorrow.
All right. All right.
How do I know? Been there, had it done.
Mm.
And I don't mean in the world, I'm talking about even in church.
Yeah. Yeah.
The same folk you trying to impress and the same folk you trying to make look good and the same folk you trying to, and you heard how I said it, you trying.
Yeah.
Are the same folk that will take you and do like this, like a rug,
yeah.
Wipe their feet off
that's
on you.
Right. No, Lord. Oh, Lord. Jesus.
But if I trust God.
That's it.
And understand that faith is now the substance of things hoped for.
Yes.
The evidence of things I haven't seen just yet. But if I hold on and wait on God.
Yes, yes, Lord.
Even if you're the only one living for God.
Mm, mm, mm.
I remember Mother White, I'm sure you said it to your children too. Sometimes they would say, Mama, can I have something? And Mama would say, no, you can't. And you'd say, well, Mama, everybody else got it. Well, everybody else jump off the bridge. Will you jump with it?
That's right.
Let them jump. Be the only ones who stay on the safe side. Let them jump because they're not standing in faith. Secondly, speak. Now, Paul said in verse number 6 that he speak the wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not of this world.
Mm.
Secondly, speak the goodness of God.
Yes.
That's all he's saying.
All right. Amen.
See, we get too deep sometimes that we really miss what's being said. It ain't like you gotta always just walk in and bust in a room.
Mm.
But if you're living a godly life, Jesus is gonna come out your mouth.
Oh yeah.
That's right.
You don't have to bust in the room and say, praise the Lord, everybody.
That's right.
No, no. Just be who you are.
Yes, Lord.
And watch people come to you. Go to the supermarket. Wait till you get down aisle 22.
Yeah.
Looking at the rice and beans. And they caught you in aisle 2. And it's funny how they do it. They don't follow you the same way.
Mm-hmm.
They set it up that they always catch you in each aisle going the opposite directions. Till in aisle 22 they say, can I ask you a question?
All right, all right.
What church do you go to?
Yeah. All right.
Why do you want to know? Because you look like a child of God.
Mm, yeah.
Or somebody else would say, can I ask you a question? What's the problem? Something about you just, you're not like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
See, don't try to force an opportunity to show
that's
up.
That's right, that's right.
Just live your life and watch opportunity present itself. And I guarantee you, when it present itself, speak, like you said, Lynette, speak of the goodness of Jesus.
Right.
Tell him or her what not only the stories in the scriptures, but give them scripture, but also tell him what happened to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell him or her what God has brought you, bringing you, or taking you through.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Let the world know that there is a God.
Yes.
He ain't no mystical genie. He's not no crystal ball, but he is real in every way.
Yeah.
Thirdly, here's what the part that the church couldn't understand, because even in our passage, but it as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither has it entered in the hearts of men the things which God has prepared for them that loved him. Receive, this is the last one, receive what comes from God. Now, we get too deep trying to figure out, God, what you got for me? Didn't we talk about it this a few moments ago?
Yes, we did.
John chapter 14.
Oh, Lord, yes.
If you believe in God, believe also in me.
Yes.
For in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would not have told you. But where I am going, you will be there. Thomas was saying, well, how do we go? We don't even know how to get there, and how we don't even know the way. But he reminded them, I am.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah. Now, did y'all remember I am in the beginning?
Yes. Yes.
He
yes.
reminded him again that I still am.
I still am.
The way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except by him. What he was letting it be known was everything you need is in God.
Yeah.
Why do I have to try to figure out what God got for me? Go to Revelation. I was told I got a robe.
Yes.
I got a crown.
Yes, sir.
I got some other things coming to me if I choose to live holy.
Right.
I got to understand that while I'm sitting in a world that wants me to have Bentleys, yes. big bank accounts, yes. big houses, closets full of clothes, and all that other accoutrements and stuff that don't mean nothing.
Mm.
Because the bad part about it, the challenge of living holy is to get, you got to give.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, let me be careful because, see, when you hear that in church, everybody always thinking that to get, I got to give some money.
Uh-huh.
No, every now and then you got to empty the closet of the clothes you ain't wearing.
Yes. Yes.
And not just the ones that you can't wear no more.
All right.
Yeah, we do that often. We get rid of the stuff that either we outgrew or outgrew us.
Yeah.
And we get rid of them and we think we done ourselves, we done the world a favor, we think we done God a great service. No, sacrifice is what's the challenge.
Yeah, there you go.
To live holy means if I got 5 pairs of shoes and I see 2 people without, do I give up 2 pairs?
Yeah, right. Go ahead.
I'll gain 3 more.
Yeah. That's it.
Even if I have a car that ain't running. Excuse me, let me see. It's running, but I'm not driving.
Right.
It's been sitting for over a year.
Yeah.
Nothing's really wrong with it, but I don't have no need for it. Why not just clean it up and give it to somebody who needs a ride?
Yeah.
All right.
Watch God bless you.
Yes, he will.
Why not do like the days of old back when we were growing up in the neighborhood? Y'all remember, you were low and mama would say, go to Miss Agnes and get a stick of butter. Miss Agnes, mama want a stick of butter.
Yes, Lord.
Now, you remember back in the day, I just said it the same way my mama told me. Miss Agnes, my mama want a stick of butter. Miss Agnes would give a stick of butter. A few days later, her daughter would come. Is Miss Irene there? Yes, she is. But what you need? Well, my mama need a cup of sugar.
Yeah.
And then when the cake was baked, a slice would come to the house.
Yeah.
God will give you everything you need.
Yes, he will.
And even as your theme says, the best is yet to come, I dare you to trust God.
Yes.
In all that you do, even though it's 9 years, the divine completeness, watch God open up more doors.
Yes.
See, everybody talking about a window. Windows are nice, but I can only get so much in a window. But if you open up a door,
Yes, sir.
I could get a whole house full of furniture through a door.
Yes, sir.
I could put a piano through a door.
Yeah.
I could put a freezer and a refrigerator through a door.
Yeah.
I could only put a few stuff through a window.
Well.
But if you trust God enough and watch him open up the doors in your life,
yes.
whether it be a job, it be your health, it be ministry, it be whatever, if you walk holy.
Go ahead, sir. Go ahead, sir.
You got to go back and read 1 Corinthians when he talked about all of that stuff that they were going through. They were trying to mix up and all of that. And Paul kept trying to show them, you don't need to live in God and that at the same time.
Mm.
But if you trust him,
that's it.
Then you will be able to sing as the song says, I learned how to live holy. I learned how to suffer. For if I suffer, I shall gain eternal life.
Yes.
But the thing is, at the end, when I see Jesus,
amen.
The man who died for me,
yes.
amen. All of my heartaches, all of my troubles will soon be over when I see Jesus.
Amen.
So are you willing to trust him today? Are you willing to trust him tomorrow? Are you really willing to trust him next week, next month, next year?
All right.
Even when folk thin out in your life. I dare you, even if you're the last man standing, stand for the Lord.
Yeah.
And watch what he does for you. Because I guarantee you, the best is still yet to come.